Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 14 of the Ash Bros podcast. I'm Todd here with Peter today, and we're so excited and just grateful to be able to do this episode today. Peter, how are you doing today, man?
I'm good, man. Doing well. I'm glad that we're back on this. And we basically took a week off because we didn't do week two, but really happy to get this underway and get started. And yeah, man, it's been a good start to the season so far, man. The Packers are 2-0. Can't complain. So, yeah, I'm happy.
Yeah, go Pack, go for sure. but yeah, it's good to be able to, you know, get back into this year, episode 14. I know Peter is looking forward to this, and I'm definitely looking forward to it as well. So with that being said, we're just going to get right into it. We're going to start off just with, one thing that's caught each of our eyes so far throughout the first 2 weeks of the 2025 NFL season. A lot of interesting storylines, interesting statistics, things have been going on. So Peter, why don't you you go first with yours?
One thing that's caught my eye throughout the first 2 weeks of the season are the dang Indianapolis Colts. Man, especially their offense. They look like a well-oiled machine, right? They lost key players to their offensive line. We were talking about them in our AFC South predictions that we didn't know they're going to be as good because they lost Ryan Kelly and Will Fries, and thinking their interior might be in trouble. But, man, they've looked like nothing's happened. It seems like almost if anything, they got upgraded there. They've been pretty good so far. They rank 5th in pass protection grade, which is great. I know they've been running the ball pretty well. Jonathan Taylor looks like he's back and kind of back into the fold as one of the better premier backs in the league. As long as he stays healthy, we know how good he can be. And Shane Steichen, man, I give him a lot of flack. Again, I'm not the biggest. I still think he's got a lot to prove, again, as a head coach. But he's cooking so far, man. Last week, watching Denver game, I had Denver, the Broncos defense in fantasy, or one of my fantasy leagues. And I saw them run Sale out of the backfield. And if you, for those who don't know what Sale is, the concept basically is like to flood one side of the field with a bunch of routes in different levels. They ran it out of the backfield and had Tyler Warren come out of basically the guard and center and run like a corner route. And it worked for like 25 yards. I'm like, man, this guy is, he's looking pretty good. Daniel Jones, of course, his resurgence is the biggest and, you know, most powerful thing about this. He's looked as good as we've ever seen him. So they keep going. I don't know. They look pretty good. Did I think they really deserved to win last week? Maybe not really. But, hey, they got the W. They're 2-0. They look pretty good. And so far, man, they look like a problem.
Yeah, the Colts definitely are looking very good so far to start the season. That's for sure. For me, the one thing that's caught my eye so far, the Chicago Bears. I know a lot of people were, you know, kind of, you know, hyping them up before the season started and whatnot. Kind of happens every year with the Bears. You know, every year it's, oh, you know, they're going to take the NFC North. They're going to do this and that. And then, you know, 5 wins or whatever. But, you know, so far this season, they've been struggling. They're 0-2 so far to start off the Ben Johnson era, not the start that they wanted. Obviously, week one was a game that, to be honest, they looked like they should have won against the Vikings before they, you know, obviously gave up that lead there. And J.J. McCarthy had a great fourth quarter for the Vikings. And then last week in Ben Johnson's return to Detroit, they were really like not really competitive, at least in the second half. And the Lions scored 52 points on them. And with that being said, the Bears defense is the biggest thing I want to talk about. They rank 32nd, which is dead last in points allowed throughout the first 2 weeks of the season. And I don't know, at least for me, like, you know, everyone's talking about Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams and, like, you know, the offense is struggling and whatnot. And yeah, that's true. The offense hasn't looked great so far, but they've also had their fair share of, you know, nice plays and, you know, some glimpses of like, okay, yeah, this offense, if they can, like, you know, kind of get it together as the season progresses, this can be a very good offense because they have all the talent, right? But the defense, man, the defense is really the unit that really needs to elevate their level of play, and they need to play better, like fast. And Ben Johnson actually said something kind of eye-opening recently too. He said their practice habits are not championship caliber, and that's not the greatest quote that you want to hear from your coach. I mean, this goes to the offense as well, but defensively, I mean, you're last in points allowed. They can't rush the passer at all right now. Montez Sweat in the defensive line there, they've been struggling, and they have a lot of injuries too in their secondary. I think Jalen Johnson, their star cornerback, all-pro player, is out indefinitely with an injury. Kyler Gordon, their slot corner, is also kind of banged up. So they have a lot of injuries there in the secondary. And, you know, the schedule, even moving forward, like this week, I think they're playing the Cowboys, and we're going to get into that a little bit later. But that's even going to be a tough matchup for that defense as well. So the Bears defense definitely got to step it up, in my opinion, if the Bears want to reach those expectations that a lot of people were putting on them to begin the season. So with that being said, now we're going to get into our predictions for week 3 of the 2025 NFL regular season. And we start off with a an interesting matchup here. You have the 2-0 Packers, like we mentioned, on the road for the first road game of the season. They're taking on the Cleveland Browns, 1 o'clock p.m. on Sunday on Fox. I have the Packers winning this game. I don't think it will be like a blowout. It easily could be. I think the Packers are a much better team, but the Browns defense has played pretty well so far this season against two quality offenses in the Bengals offense with a healthy Joe Burrow, and then the Ravens as well. You know, until later on in the game, they look pretty good against the Ravens. But I do think the Packers will secure a comfortable win on the road here.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's pretty self-explanatory here. I think they're just flat out the better team. The Browns defense, like you said, will make it interesting. They'll grind it out, I think. And that's the type of football they've been playing all year anyways, to get good long drives going, trying to get the run game going, and then let their defense kind of star and flourish and wear teams to the ground. I just think we're going to have the same kind of pattern, and we just do it better. The Packers. So, yeah, also the Packers winning this one in a somewhat not close game, if that makes sense.
Moving on to the next game here, we have the Atlanta Falcons, who are 1-1 on the road, taking on the 0-2 Carolina Panthers in an NFC South matchup. Also, 1 o'clock game here. I'm going to go with the Falcons. Their defense last week against the Vikings looked pretty good. I think they're going to be able to continue that in this matchup here. But I do think it'll be a close game. Carolina, they're playing their first home game of the season. I think their fans will be riled up there. And I think Bryce Young will have a pretty solid performance.
Sorry, yeah. I would go ahead and I think I'm going with the Atlanta Falcons as well. I think the thing is, their defense has been pretty good the first 2 weeks. Week one, I just think, again, like, they got some bad calls, some like unlucky plays that went their way. I truly do think they should have beat the Bucs week one. Bucs are very fortunate to win that game. And again, week two, they went on a masterclass against J.J. McCarthy and the Vikings, especially on the defensive end. And they can also grind it out, but they can also air it out. And I'm curious to see what they got in store this week. I wouldn't be shocked if they go out and kind of put some a little bit of a hurting on the Panthers this week, even on the road. So, yeah, I got the Falcons as well.
Our next game here, we have the New York Jets, who are 0-2. They're on the road taking on the 2-0 Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who we were just talking about a second ago there. I got the Buccaneers winning this game. It's their home opener. The Buccaneers are usually a pretty solid home team. And, you know, for the Jets, they look good in week one, didn't look so good in week two against the Bills. And Justin Fields is out too with a concussion. So I think the Buccaneers will win this game. I'm going to say by double digits. I think they'll win pretty, secure a good win there.
I also got the Bucs. I think it's, again, Tyrod Taylor's starting for the Jets. Again, no Fields, like you said. Tyrod Taylor, last time we saw him start a couple of games, he was the Giants. I know it was the Giants, but he looked really bad. I don't expect him to look that great with the Jets offense, considering that their offense is kind of up and down. Week one, they looked really good against the Steelers. Those just might be the Steelers' defense looking bad. Week two, not so much. The Buccaneers' defense has also been pretty good and stable for the most part. They just can't create sacks and turnovers and stuff like that, but I have a feeling that'll change this week. I got the Bucs winning by a pretty good margin.
Our next matchup here, we have an AFC South matchup actually here. The Houston Texans, who are surprisingly, at least in my opinion, 0-2, taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars, who are 1-1, 1 o'clock game on CBS. I got the Texans winning this game. I think it's a must-win for the Texans. I think they dropped the 0-3. It would be really tough for them to come back from that. Don't get me wrong, Jacksonville's looked pretty good for the first 2 weeks of the season. I think you can make the argument they should be 2-0, that you know they should have beat the Cincinnati Bengals last week, but they fell just short in that one. But I do think even on the road here, the Texans will get it done, and I think they'll find a way to win a close game after losing the first two games of the season in a pretty close manner.
The Jaguars seem like they're in a bit of a mess right now. Liam Cohen, he's a good vibes coach, and the problem with good vibes coaches is that when you run into these big, difficult issues, I guess kind of with like the Brian Thomas stuff, while being shying away from contact, also with Trevor Lawrence, that whole thing being a story, him throwing hospital balls, the way they're using Travis Hunter is being criticized very well, and rightfully so. We can get into that a little bit more. I guess one of these days we'll probably do that in the future, maybe in the season or something like that, but they basically are using him like a gadget receiver. He catches screens and stuff like that, and they're not using him down the field, and it's really, really strange to see a guy that's that dynamic not being used past the sticks. It's really weird. Anyways, there's problems there in Jacksonville. I know they're 1-1. I think they lose this week. I think the Texans get their first win, And TJ Stroud usually owns these guys. I can't get the exact numbers off the top of my head, but I know he's a dog against the Jaguars. I look forward to seeing what he has in store, especially for all the slander he's been getting. So, yeah, I'll have the Texans too in this one.
Our next matchup here is actually a playoff rematch from last year, from last year's NFC divisional round. The 2-0 Rams at the 2-0 Eagles, 1 o'clock on Fox. I can easily see this game, honestly, being an NFC Championship game preview of how good these teams are. The Eagles did win that playoff game, obviously, as they wanted to go win the Super Bowl, but I actually have the Rams winning this game on the road here. I think the Eagles, they're 2-0, but they haven't looked great doing it. Obviously, the most important thing is winning, but I just feel like the Rams have looked better. I do kind of, you know, for the Eagles, you know, if you remember in week one, they kind of struggled to stop the pass, especially with like the cornerback issues with Adoree Jackson. And, you know, the Rams have not only Puka Nacua, but Davante Adams as well outside there. So I do think the Rams will be able to score some points on a good Eagles defense. And I think they'll come out with a close road win, maybe something like 27-23, something like that.
Yeah, I can see that too. I just have the Eagles winning this one. I think the Eagles have flat out just played better talent, even though they've been both closer games. I think the Cowboys are better than people, or played better at least so far, than people thought they would. And I think, again, playing the Cowboys and the Chiefs week one and two is much better than playing the Titans and the Texans weeks one and two. And the Rams have kind of squeaked by in those games. Even the last week's game, I know they didn't look like they were kind of in control, but the Titans kind of had a chance to be in that game. Didn't really like the way they played. I think it's a lot of relying on Stafford and those receivers. And the run game hasn't been as strong either. Again, the Eagles don't look that great, but I think it's only a matter of time before they flip a switch. I think this is the game where they flip it. I got the Eagles moving to 3-0.
Our next game here, we have the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are 1-1, traveling to take on the New England Patriots, who are also 1-1. I have the Patriots winning this game at home. They did lose their first home game of the season, week one, to the Raiders in a close game. I think this time they're going to be able to pull it out against the Steelers team that needs to figure out their identity because their defense has been struggling. They can't really run the ball. The Steelers have a lot of, I feel like, at least in my opinion, the Steelers have more issues to kind of sort out compared to the Patriots right now. And I do think that's why the Patriots, led by Drake May, I think they'll get the win at home here to go to 2-1.
The Pats are wearing the throwbacks, man. I know it sounds crazy, but in a game I think is going to be just swung by just a couple of momentum-changing plays. It just screams that. I have the Pats in swagged out. Pats looking swagged out. I have them getting the W in New England. I just think, again, like you said, there's problems with the Steelers' defense right now. It's really uncharacteristic. I'm just not a big fan of what they're doing over there. The Caleb Johnston story also has to be talked about. I know we don't have time to really get into it too much, but them using him as a kick returner, and then obviously him making a horrible mistake last week that ultimately hurt them bad. But them using a guy they spent a second-round pick on to return kicks. This guy's 230 pounds, by the way. 6'1", something like that, 230. He is not a kick returner. He didn't return kicks in college. I don't know where. It's so frustrating. I don't have this guy in fantasy or anything. This is just me talking, like, straight football. It's the weirdest thing to use a guy who's probably your best pure runner as a kick returner. He's not the fastest guy. I ran like a 4.5. His game speed's not even that crazy. It's like, I just don't understand it. And it's probably an Aaron Rodgers, Arthur Smith issue. But it's malpractice at this point. And again, they don't have a running game going. And they're going, we should get the ball more to, I mean, Aaron Rodgers saying more to Jalen Warren. We should do this. Get the ball to your, how about you get the ball to the guy you drafted second round who actually can run the ball? It's the weirdest thing to me. I don't understand this team. They always have something dumb that's going on. It's why I was so fed up with it. It's a long story. But I got the Patriots, man. Give me the Patriots. Just, I can't with the Steelers right now. I really can't.
That's a good point, though, with Caleb Johnston. I think, you know, they can use him a little bit more in the run game. Take some pressure off, you know, 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers. I think that would be wise. But I agree with that.
They're talking about using him. It's like, oh, we can't. Well, he might be damn near a healthy scratch at this point. And it's like, he made a crucial mistake and this and that. He's not a kick returner. When did you guys see him? Again, this is someone I watch college football a decent amount enough. I didn't watch Iowa that much. I'll be honest. I didn't. But I know damn well he wasn't known for his kick returning abilities. This guy's a bruising running back who has pretty decent speed for a big guy. But he's like 230 pounds. He's not like, you watch him run. Where do you see kick returner? I don't know what the hell's going on over there. But like, I can't feel any sympathy for a team like that when they're doing constant dumb mistakes. And then they're going, we don't have a run game. Well, no, like, you know what? Know what, Sherlock? Like, what am I supposed to say to that? You know, it's like, I don't know, man.
It's like taking a flat screen TV and trying to stuff it into a backpack. Oh, it doesn't fit. So, yeah. Moving on to the next game here, we have the 2-0 Cincinnati Bengals traveling on the road to take on the 1-1 Minnesota Vikings. The gritty off, right? I mean, Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson. But both teams have backup quarterbacks. The Bengals, obviously, Joe Burrow looks like he's going to be out for at least the next 3 months, unfortunately. And then J.J. McCarthy, the Vikings' young quarterback, he looks like he's going to be out for the next 2 to 4 weeks at least. So Carson Wentz starting for the Vikings here against Jake Browning for the Bengals. This one was tough. I have the Vikings winning this game at home. I think it'll be a close game. And I just think the Vikings defense will really swing it. I think this defense is very good. They played great against the Bears in week one and kept them in that game before McCarthy led that comeback. And they played great against the Falcons, in my opinion, too, in week two. You know, the Vikings offense just wasn't able to carry their weight there. But I think in this game against the Bengals defense, which, you know, looked decent in the first two games, I do think Minnesota, though, you know, being at home with that crowd noise and that home field advantage, they could be able to get a close win.
I'm with you on that as well. I also have the Vikings winning this one. People keep talking about Jake Browning. Well, the last time he played the Vikings, he was at home. And I remember what he said, oh, they cut me and everything like that. I think Brian Flores, like, I think in that game, they were like, I'm not sure they didn't take him seriously, but maybe there wasn't that much of a scouting report. They weren't really on it. This time, I think they'll be much more prepared to go against him. I think Brian Flores will have some stuff up his sleeve. And again, Browning threw 3 picks against the Jaguars last week. The Jags defense is, they took a step back and they've gotten better, but they're no Vikings. They're no Minnesota Vikings. I think the Vikings do it well defensively, and I think they shut them down and they get a W.
Our next game here, we have the 2-0 Indianapolis Colts taking on the 0-2 Tennessee Titans in the AFC South matchup. Also, 1 o'clock game here. I have the Colts winning this game here on the road. I think they're just playing a lot better than the Titans are. Don't get me wrong, the Titans have definitely been competitive in those first two games they played against the Broncos and against the Rams, who I think are, you know, playoff contending teams. But I think the Colts, like you mentioned earlier, Daniel Jones, or I should say Danny Dimes, right? I mean, he's balling right there. So he's playing very well. I think he's going to continue that against a good Titans defense. And the Colts will go to 3-0.
This sounds really weird, but it took me a while to pick this one. I honestly was going to pick the Titans until I started thinking about how much guys have just been kind of up and down offensively for them and inconsistent. And the Colts are just playing better football right now. So I see the Colts winning this one in a close game, 27-24 or something like that. But if the Titans win this one, I would not be surprised. I really do think they're due for a win, even though the last first weeks have been kind of tough for them. But they played Denver extremely tough. Some can argue they could have won that game. And last week, again, I know the score doesn't really indicate it, but they were in that game with the Rams, man. They were in that game. A couple bad red zone possessions. Cam Ward had to make something work sometimes, and it still didn't work. Some of the passes he made were ridiculous. Still couldn't really get it done. Wouldn't shock me if the Colts come back to earth a little bit, and the Titans get it done, and what's going to be probably a rowdy Tennessee crowd.
Our next game here, it's actually the last 1 o'clock game here on the schedule for Week 3. The Las Vegas Raiders traveling to take on the Washington Commanders. Both teams are 1-1 to start the season so far. I'm not sure if this would be an upset, but I do have the Raiders winning on the road here. The main reason why is because Jaden Daniels might not play for the Commanders because he's dealing with an injury right now. And, I mean, Marcus Mariota is not a bad backup. I think he's actually a pretty decent backup. But the Raiders' defense so far has played really well. They're actually fourth in the league in rushing yards allowed per game. So I feel like, obviously, with Mariota in, the Commanders will probably try to run the ball a lot. And I just feel like the Raiders, they can, you know, slow that down and make him throw the ball a lot. They can, you know, get pressure on him with Max Crosby. And just have success there. And then I think on the other side of the ball, I like Geno Smith and those wide receivers against that Washington secondary. So, yeah, I like the Raiders on the road to win the game.
I'm going to go with the Commanders, regardless of if JD starts or not. The Raiders really lost my respect. That Monday night game really made me angry. Geno Smith was, I don't know, man. Like, again, we'll see. Again, he's more than capable of winning this game and pulling it out. And he has the arm and the receivers, like you said, to get it done. I was just very down on them after that game. I know it was the Chargers, but that game was theirs to win. And they just blew it. And it was Geno just throwing a lot of dumb passes. I don't care how bad of a secondary you are. Eventually, if you throw something stupid, it's going to happen. And the Chargers actually have a good secondary. The Commanders don't, but I can easily see the Commanders getting some turnovers off that. And they were so turnover dependent last year. I could see it happen again with Dan Quinn and what he likes to do. So I think it'll be a close one, but I'm going to give the edge to the Commanders. Even if Jaden doesn't play, I think Mariota's more than capable of getting it done.
Our next game here is our first 4 o'clock game. Denver Broncos, 1-1 on the road, taking on the Los Angeles Chargers, who are 2-0. Should be a fun AFC West rivalry matchup here. I have the Broncos winning this game. I know they're on the road and whatnot, but I just feel like the Broncos are, you know, they're coming off a week where, you know, like you mentioned against the Colts, I feel like, you know, they should have won that game. And obviously, I mean, they didn't, but I just feel like the Broncos, you know, you lose a game like that, you're going to be, I feel like, annoyed. And I feel like they're going to come out with the right intensity. You know, Sean Payton, those guys over there, I think their defense matches up pretty well against the Chargers offense as well. Even though, you know, Justin Herbert has been awesome to start the season, playing like a I would say a low-key MVP candidate so far. But I do think the Broncos will get this win on the road and go to first place in the AFC West in the early part of the season here.
I'm with you here. I also have the Broncos winning a close one. Another close one has been kind of the term, the topic of these predictions. But the Chargers have been playing well. I do think, again, like, yeah, it's been, they've been getting blessed with the reverse Charger house money, if you want to call it that. Usually they lose these close games, but they beat the Chiefs in a game where you probably think they're going to lose. They win that game. And then last week, again, like a game that, I know the score doesn't say it, but it was closer than what even the score says it was. It was super close by the score, but it should have been even closer. Like, they could have easily lost that game. Geno just made some really bad mistakes. They got some stops when he needed to, but I'm not giving them all this credit that other people are giving them. I really do think the Raiders just kind of blew that game. I think the Broncos get right and steal the ship and get it done this week.
The next one here, we have the 0-2 New Orleans Saints traveling to Seattle to take on the Seahawks, who are 1-1. I think the Seahawks will win this one pretty comfortably here. Yeah, I think, don't get me wrong, the Saints have looked better than I thought they would look, to be honest, at the start of the season. They lost some close games, you know, to the Cardinals week one and to the 49ers last week. But I think this one here, being in Seattle, you know, that Seahawks, you know, their offense, defensively and offensively, the Seahawks are just the better team. I think they'll overwhelm the Saints here with the talent at home and improve the 2-1 on the season.
I'm also going to go with the Seattle Seahawks, man. I think that defense has just been, like, they've been humming, man, in every game they played. Even the Niners game, again, another game they could have easily won. They look really good. I like them. Sam Darnold looks like he's kind of finding his rhythm. Again, it's going to be basically mostly based on, like, if he can just kind of avoid some pressure looks and kind of keep himself upright. Sometimes Sam gets a little scared in the pocket, and you can see him kind of dance around and maybe gets oblivious to the pressure or who's around him, and then it becomes a problem, but I think the Seahawks win this one pretty comfortably. I'm not a big fan of the Saints.
Our next matchup here, we had the Dallas Cowboys at 1-1 traveling to Chicago to take on the 0-2 Bears, 4:25 on Fox, America's Game of the Week. I have the Bears winning this game at home. I am not confident in saying that at all, to be honest, but I just feel like it's one of those situations where it doesn't always work out like this, but this team needs a win. They need a win really badly. And they're at home, and I feel like after losing the way they did against Detroit last week, giving up 52 points, getting embarrassed, to be honest. Like that's what happened. They got embarrassed. I feel like they're going to come out with the right, you know, mentality at home here. I do think it'll be a very high-scoring game. Like I mentioned, the Bears defense has struggled. The Cowboys defense struggled a lot last week against the Giants. So I can see this being a, you know, 27-30 kind of game. But yeah, I do think the Bears will get a win and get in the win column for the first time in 2025 this week.
The one thing I think, right, people keep saying, okay, like Dan Campbell's going to miss this about Ben Johnson. He's going to miss about Aaron Glenn. He's going to miss this. The one thing I'll say that Ben Johnson's going to miss the most about not having a guy like Dan Campbell in your corner after a loss like that is, well, how do we bounce back? How do we get the guys back into shape and fold? And you saw him kind of crumble already saying, we're not practicing like this, and it's kind of like negative Nancy talk, if you will. And I don't know, man. The Bears right now look like they're just kind of in a bad place. And I hate to say it, but I kind of enjoy it. I think they lose again this week. I think the Cowboys come there. I think they hand them another loss. I'm not saying they're going to destroy them or anything like that, but the Cowboys, they show heart, right? As long as Dak's there, people talk about Jerry Jones, this and that. Dak Prescott is one of the few guys in the league. His heart's on his sleeve. He plays hard and confident. And I just love what he does, I guess, especially on the field, leading the troops back. That game looked like it was all but over last week. Neighbors hits that touchdown. Crowd's already booing. Guys are pissed. And Dak just looks like it's just another game. And he just goes on the field, boom, boom, boom. Brandon Aubrey, field goal, ties it. Next thing you know, they win the game. I had the Cowboys winning this one by 7 and 3 points. I don't know what's going to happen exactly here. Bears can end up winning this, but I believe in the Cowboys more than they do the Bears, and that says a lot.
Our next game is also a 4:25 game here. The Arizona Cardinals, 2-0 Arizona Cardinals, taking on the 2-0 San Francisco 49ers. Both teams 2-0 in the NFC West. It's pretty interesting. I think the NFC West is actually the only division right now that every team in the division has at least one win. But I do have the Cardinals winning this game on the road. You can call it an upset, maybe, potentially. I don't know. I heard Brock Purdy might play for the 49ers in this game. I feel like even if he does, I don't know. I think I like the Cardinals in a road upset here. I think their defense, outside of that, second half against Carolina or the fourth quarter against Carolina last week where they kind of struggled, I think they looked pretty good to start the season. And I do like how they match up against the 49ers as well on the defensive side of the ball. So I think it'll be a close game here. 49ers, it is the home opener, so the crowd would be juiced up. But I do have Kyler Murray and the Cardinals taking it here.
One thing I'll say to your point is Kyler Murray, especially mobile quarterbacks in general, have been the Achilles heel of Robert Saleh-led defenses. The problem is usually they can't really contain him, but they try to do these weird stunts. It doesn't work against a guy like Kyler Murray who can kind of bounce in and out of the pocket and move around and kind of explore some things. But then I also heard some Niners defenders apparently say yesterday that Robert Saleh has some tricks up his sleeve, to quote himself, to contain Kyler Murray. Whether that works or not, I'm not too sure. But again, I'm going with who I'm more confident in. Am I more confident in the Cardinals or the Niners? I'm more confident in the Niners, so I'm going to take them. I don't think Brock Purdy plays. I mean, maybe they're doing this to kind of stir up some stuff. Maybe he does play. I'm not too sure. I'm still confident with Mac Jones behind there because I think they'll just have an ease system offensively. Obviously, defensively is going to be the main key in kind of containing Kyler Murray, but I think they'll do just enough. Especially Michael Williams in the run game. He's been a very pleasant surprise, not really in the pass rush, but his contain off the edge. I saw a block last week. He took a guy with one hand, moved him back one hand, and then grabbed the running back with the other, Kamara with the other. It was a nasty play. If he can just contain like that, and he's that good in the run game, and the Cardinals can't really run the ball that well, it's a whole different problem and story. So give me the Niners in this one.
Yeah, I have a feeling that Fred Warner is going to play a big part in that trick up Robert Saleh's sleeve because that guy is he's amazing, man. He's definitely the best linebacker in the league. That guy is a wonderful player to watch. And now we're going to our Sunday night football game here. On Sunday night, the Kansas City Chiefs 0-2 for the first time since 2014 on the road against the 0-2 New York Giants in New York. I was thinking about this game, man. I think this game is going to be closer than some people think. I do have the Chiefs winning it on the road. I think, obviously this is a must win for, both teams. But I do think the Chiefs are the better team, and I think they'll come up with a win. But they don't really match up well. I think this is a bad matchup for the Chiefs in a way, but just, the Giants' defensive front and how good they are, up there. But I do think Patrick Mahomes, as he has a lot over the last 7 years or so as he's been the starter, I think he'll find a way and he'll help the Chiefs get the win.
I'm also with you. I heard some crazy stat that apparently the Chiefs have never beaten the Giants on the road, which is pretty insane. This game it just gets more and more terrifying the closer we get into it for the Chiefs, in my opinion. The Giants are really a team that, I don't know, I feel like they almost have nothing to lose. Dable might have something to lose. Like, his job might be on the line straight up in a couple weeks, depending on what happens with this Jackson Dart, Russell Wilson situation. We'll see. But in terms of the team, like, what do you really have to look forward to if you're a Giants player, right? You're not going to be in contention to do anything. Your coach is kind of all over the place. You're in these games where you're competing, but then you go from those type of games to the games where you're just getting blown out or your games you don't feel like you're confident in. I don't know where this team's at right now, but I think that's just a more dangerous thing for the Chiefs. You really don't know what you're going to get from the Giants. All we know is that the defensive line is really good. They're going to play hard. You have guys like Russell Wilson, guys like Malik Neighbors. You never know what could happen in a game like this. I have the Chiefs winning because they have to win. That's the way I see it. I feel like they lose a game like this and you go 0-3 down. I know people can say, oh, it's not the end of the world. You don't have to panic yet. I think you got to start panicking and go 0-3. Because then I think now you're fighting an uphill battle. You're still waiting for guys to come back. People are like, oh, Rashee Rice is going to come back and Brady's going to get healthy eventually. You got to hope those guys get back into the fold and they're the same. Even Rashee Rice, missing a whole, I know he did training camp and stuff like that, but you're missing a lot of action. You got to hope his conditioning's right and all that stuff. It's hard, man, not playing football for a long time like that. And just getting back into the fold. I don't care where you're practicing, where you're training. So we're going to see what this team's mental at for real. This is a big mental test for this team.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. Should be a great test for it. three-time defending AFC champion Chiefs. So it should be an interesting one there. And in our last game of the week here, we have, I think, should be an amazing Monday Night Football game between the 1-1 Detroit Lions and the 1-1 Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore. Should be a fun one. I think both teams are, my opinion, Super Bowl contenders, and this could be a Super Bowl preview. I do think the Ravens will win this game at home. I just think, you know, the biggest thing, honestly, when it comes down to it is I just don't see the Lions defense stopping Lamar Jackson. He's 7-2 on Monday Night Football in his career, and he has a 24-2 record against NFC teams throughout his career. So, you know, I do think the Ravens will get it done here at home. I do think it'll be a much closer game than the last time these two teams played, which was in 2023 in Baltimore. And I think the Ravens won that one. It was like by like 30 points or something. It was like 38-7, something like that. But I do think it'll be closer, but I do think the Ravens will win probably a high scoring game because the Lions offense is pretty good as well. So
I also have the Ravens, but man, this is a dangerous spot to be in if you're a Ravens supporter and fan. You lose that week one game to the Bills in a game you probably should have easily won and commanded, considering you dominated the game. You win last week and you handle the Browns, but now you walk in. Usually they walk into a situation where they play NFC teams and it's like, oh, well, they're super confident. They got the swagger. I don't know how confident and swagger you are. I mean, how much swagger you had and how much confidence you have coming to this one. The Lions just laid a beating on the Bears, right? I think they come into this one and they say, this guy's beating up all these NFC teams. Let's send these guys a message and show them that we're not here to play around either. I think the Lions are coming for blood, straight up. And I think they're trying to not just beat these guys. I think they want to embarrass them. I think Dan Campbell, the one thing about Dan Campbell, again, I'm not the biggest fan of like all the stuff around him. I think people kind of overrate all this stuff. But the one thing I'll never say he's overrated about is having his guys ready to play. And I think they're going to come out guns blazing, and the Ravens are going to have to stop that right away. Because if they don't, I think they're going to try to make a point to embarrass these guys. I think they really want to beat them up. If there's a game I'm not certain of this week and I would not even kind of look at to be like, oh, prediction's right or wrong, it'd be this game right here. So I have the Ravens, but would not be shocked at in the slightest if the Lions win this game by like 10. I'm being that serious. Like, I think they're coming for blood to show people, hey, like, the Packers are the talk of the town. We're still here.
Yeah, and I think it should be interesting too, because I feel like the Lions defense, like, they, in a way, they match up well with Baltimore's offense, and in a way they don't, because like the Lions' run defense is very good. And of course, we know the Ravens love running the ball with Lamar and Derrick Henry. But then the other side of the ball, on the flip side of that, the Lions' defense, they play a lot of man-to-man coverage, and I'm not sure if that's the smartest thing to do against Lamar Jackson, when obviously he can take off and run for those, you know, big gains and really cut up a defense with his legs. So I think that's going to be the most interesting thing to see. Are the Lions going to stick to their aggressive man-to-man coverage, or are they going to be like, okay, Lamar is killing us, we got to play some more zone? So that should be interesting to watch as well. Wow, so it looks like we only four picks we had differently. The other picks, looks like we were on the same page for this week, so that's pretty interesting there. But what do you think?
I think that's pretty good, man. It's usually like on par. I mean, last time we had like six. I think week one was six or seven, so it's not that much farther more. Again, I could have really had – there's a couple of games, man, like that Lions game too, and a couple of ones where I really could have just picked the other team. I just think like it's going to be – it's a game of margins, you never know, and it's just what I think. I just trust those teams a little bit more, but some of these games, like, I can easily see it swinging the other way, like very much easy. That's the beauty of football. You just – and with all sports in general, but especially with the NFL, is you just never really know. It's any given Sunday, right?
Oh yeah, that's 1,000% true for sure. So, that's definitely true. So it should be interesting to see what happens this week in week three. A lot of fun games, and should be fun to see who comes out on top in each of those matchups. With that being said, we thank everyone for listening to this episode 14 of the Astros podcast. And we're grateful you guys listened to this one. We hope you have an amazing day, and we will see you guys in the next episode.